Vinny Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody has a part-time job by John Key government mandate as an incandescent light bulb. In fact, we tried to make those illegal at one point and say, no, you can only have mercury-filled light bulbs that contaminate 20,000 litres of groundwater per, like, what one-tenth of a hundredth of a gram of mercury in those bloody light bulbs, okay? I love this country. It's great. It's the least corrupt country in the world, allegedly, which means it's probably the most corrupt, but the corrupt people here have such great control that nobody notices, and they think it's all just normal. Today we have a guest, but before I go to her, I just wanted to talk about the movies for a little bit. Saw a movie called The Green Lantern, you know, superhero, got a green ring, can make stuff up with his mind kind of stuff, Ashley, everybody. All right, dig this. Alien comes to Earth, right, gives him the ring. The government, the secret government, okay, in a facility miles underground and everything like that, grab the alien. And they're dissecting him. And they go, oh, this is the first alien we've ever had, despite what the conspiracy theorists would say. And then they do this analysis on this alien inside this secret military facility. And then they put all the analysis and all the data from that, shall we say, autopsy or whatever, onto a little hard drive, and then pass it to the lady who talked about the conspiracy theorists. What's that hard drive got on it? You guessed it, a giant Illuminati all-seeing eye, just like on the back of the $1 bill. These people are great. The conspiracy is so overarching that they own all the, as far as I'm concerned, this is my conclusion, they own every single major movie studio, and every single major movie that comes out is loaded with Illuminati symbolism. It's all over the place. It's unavoidable. No, seriously, if you know what you're looking for, if you're looking for all-seeing eyes, pentagrams, black and white Masonic floors, and Jackin and Boaz, if you know what any of those things are, you will see at least one of them in every single TV show you see and every single movie you see. And I'm not joking, okay? The last months I've seen something like maybe 30 movies or something. I've been going through a lot of movies. Every single one of them, without fail, from a whole range of different movie studios, all loaded with Illuminati symbolism. And people call me a conspiracy theorist because I actually notice what's there. Okay? I walked down the street one time and I noticed cars. Somebody called me a conspiracy theorist. Cars don't exist. They're not there. Okay? This is the insanity, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to kind of point that out. Switching gears, my very special guest, Aaron Izzy, has arrived. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Okay, I'm Erin Young, and I am a naturopath and a holistic nutritionist and a medical herbalist and a writer. So I wear quite a few different hats depending on what I'm doing at the time.
Or preparing in the kitchen at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you also a vegan chef by chance?
I'm not a vegan chef as such, but I do prepare a lot of vegan food. I'm not vegan, but I will eat a lot of vegan food, as I'm sure that a lot of meat eaters will eat a lot of, you know, vegetarian food and so on. So,
well, you know, I've seen a lot of meat eaters eat nothing either but meat or pastry or carbohydrates or anything like that, and it seems vegetables and fruit are almost the taboo part of the modern diet.
They really are. It's quite scary when you kind of, when you go around the supermarket and sort of just, I don't know if I'm the only one who does this, but, you know, have a little sticky beak in someone else's trolley, and it's, a lot of the time it's absolutely mind-blowing what people are putting into their bodies and not really thinking about it.
Oh, I saw this dude He had his two young kids, and they looked really sick, okay? You know, snot coming out of the nose and what have you. They looked like they were obviously on a government benefit or something of that nature. Here's what they had. I'll see if I can remember all the items. There's a big pack of two-minute noodles, okay, and a big pack of donuts. Not cream filled. I think they had the real sugary icing and the speckled flakes on them and that kind of stuff. And processed sausages, white bleached flour bread, and a couple of bottles of pasteurized, homogenized, inorganic milk, and a couple of bottles of level 6 biotoxin Coca-Cola. And I was just like, that's their week shopping, it looked like to me.
It's just astounding, isn't it? You know, how far we've come from eating real food, and how some people, you know, you sort of talk to them about, you know, eating vegetables or eating fruit or how much they'd eat in a week, and a lot of the time they'll just sort of look at you like you've got three heads or something, you know, like, you mean I should be eating this every day?
Which you mean taking care of my health and my own body is something I have to actually take responsibility for? Well, I'm not supposed to just, you know, expect the government to pay a doctor like once in a while when everything goes wrong to help me out by giving me toxic crap fed directly into the bloodstream? I mean, come on, you must be nuts.
It's scary, isn't it? And what really scares me, and this is something that I like to work on a lot in terms of kind of trying to get the word out about natural health and about how to kind of keep yourself healthy is, you know, you don't have to do that. Just, you know, think about what it is that you're putting in your body. Think about what it is that you're doing, because, you know, your decisions now can affect, they're going to affect your health for decades to come. It's, and okay, so say my weekly shot, which involves a lot of organic fruit and vegetables and nuts and seeds and all that kind of thing. Okay, it might be more expensive than that trolley full of white bread and, you know, low-fat, homogenized milk and Coca-Cola or whatever else it is that, I don't know, people tend to buy. But I just see it as an investment, you know. I saw a quote the other day. It said, if you think eating organic food is healthy, have you priced cancer lately? And I thought, yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Well, cancer is pretty expensive. How much does it cost for the average round of chemotherapy these days?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. But
I think it's like somewhere around the region of $25,000, yeah. Not including the doctor's commission, which is about $5,000 for each person that he successfully gets to take chemotherapy, which is paid directly into their bank accounts by the pharmaceutical companies that manufacture the chemo. And that's the same deal with a lot of the psychotropic medications as well. There's promotions, and it's not entirely dissimilar from sales. When I was doing sales and stuff like that, they give you promotions for these new products and stuff like that. Go out there and sell it. You will give you extra money and all that kind of stuff. It's the same thing in the medical industry, except it's not called a bribe.
It's scary, isn't it? And just how many people are on these drugs now? It blows my mind every day, and you just think how much of this is preventable and how much of this, you know, can you stop just by changing your diet now, you know, before you get sick. And I don't for a moment believe that all doctors are necessarily bad or that the ones dishing out the chemo are necessarily, you know, inherently nasty people. You know, they're wanting what's best for their patients. But again, they've just been indoctrinated in a model that's not sustainable and that's not actually providing health. It's the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff kind of deal.
Yeah, that's called being indoctrinated.
Yeah, absolutely. Brainwashed from the word go.
now, so you can't blame a brainwashed person for doing stuff that their brainwashing programs them to do, can you? No more than you can blame a dog who's trained to attack for attacking.
No, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people tend to get very, a lot of naturopaths, especially in people in the kind of natural health industry, tend to get quite almost virulently anti the mainstream medical establishment. But I really don't see that as being something that's helpful, particularly if we're wanting to get more people to be listening to what we're talking about and to, you know, get, you know, just getting doctors on board with what we're doing and with, you know, giving people decent, healthy food guidelines that don't involve saying, oh no, you must have margarine instead of butter, and you must have low-fat milk instead of raw milk, and all this kind of thing, which is what they say at the moment. And it's absolutely a load of crap, just putting it out there.
Well, dig this. We've got somebody in the chat room here who says that one of his mates was given chemotherapy because he had stiff fingers.
What?
I haven't seen any evidence to corroborate that. But you know, when it comes to the medical industry, always assume the worst.
Get a second opinion. The number of people who don't get a second opinion. You know. Okay, so your doctor may mean well, and he may be the doctor who's been your doctor since you were a tiny baby or something, doesn't necessarily mean he's God and that he knows everything, you know. Before you go into these things, get a second opinion and ask what the risks of each treatment are.
You know, informed don't just, consent.
Yeah, don't just blindly accept what it is that you're being told. It's absolute, because a lot of the time it's going to be a load of rubbish.
Okay. And just remember the meaning of the word fiduciary, okay? It's a position of trust. But except with the, most of the positions of trust in society nowadays, whether you're talking about your lawyers, your politicians, or your doctors, there's no fiduciary responsibility going on there. If anything, they've shortened the word simply to just being a douche.
Oh, dear. I wish it wasn't true, but a lot of the time it is.
Have you noticed that we spend a lot of our time, Aaron, wishing that what we know for a fact is true isn't true, and just hoping that somebody will give us a different answer?
It would be nice, but I think, particularly in terms of healthcare and the whole health industry and establishment, the further you look down that rabbit hole, the deeper and nastier it gets. And, you know, there's times where I really wish that I could just go to the supermarket and fill my trolley with bottles of Coca-Cola and white bread and eat all that amazing tasting junk food that just, you know, oh, it tastes so good, let's face it, it tastes amazing and it's addictive. And it would be so nice to be able to go and just be like everybody else and just eat that stuff and not have a panic attack over what it is that I'm putting in my body. But to be honest, I'm so glad that I don't, and that, you know, I think the long term outcomes for people who are so much more aware is gonna become more and more important as we're going on. Particularly just because it's no longer a matter of if you eat healthy, then you're going to be healthy. The environment is so toxic that it is just so much more important now that you do everything that you can within your power to limit your exposure to these things and to, you know, stay as healthy as you can, because there's no longer any kind of guarantee over what's going to happen.
Well, there's only one guarantee, that you'll be surrounded from toxins from birth till death.
Yeah, from before birth. That's the scary part. You know, the average child these days, there's a study done a few years ago, which is kind of known as...
200 chemicals in the umbilical cord. Gotta love that.
What was it? 287 individual toxic chemicals that they found across these 10 babies with an average...
Yeah, and that's just the toxic chemicals. I wonder what other stuff was in there that they don't think is toxic. Like, is fluoride added to that list of 187 toxic... Oh, no, it's good for you. It's good for your teeth, even though it rots your bones.
Everyone needs fluoride. Come on.
Yeah. Well, see, they need calcium fluoride, which comes off of limestone, not sodium fluoride, which comes out of incredibly dangerous, poisonous chemical factories as a waste. And that's illegal to dump unless you sell it and then it becomes a product and then you can dump it. But you have to dump it into people's water supplies because, of course, that's the safest place to put toxic waste, isn't it?
Oh, it's shocking, isn't it? It's absolutely shocking. And yet, so many people, you know, how many times do you hear, well, I grew up with fluoridated water and my teeth are all healthy, so it must work and it must be good for you. I mean, I grew up without fluoridated water, thankfully, and my teeth were absolutely fine until I had one filling when I was about 21, maybe, and another one since then, since I've been living in a fluoridated city.
What I really love is the concept behind fluoridation. You want to give it to save all those kids who've got really bad teeth. Here's the question. Do any of those kids drink water? No, they don't. The reason why their teeth are so bad is because they drink fizzy drinks.
They drink fizzy drinks and they don't brush their teeth. I mean, surely it would be a much better approach if people are that concerned about dental health to be giving out free toothbrushes and toothpaste and teaching these kids what to do with them.
Yeah, Yep.
It would be far more cost effective and...
But see, that would promote health, and it would also allow people's pineal glands to not be calcified and allow them to connect with, shall we say, their higher self and what have you. And you can't have that with children in school. I mean, imagine kids that were actually in connection to their higher self and were aware of their surroundings and want to do the right thing and everything. It's just not congruent to the way school works. You need to shut the frack up. Sit the frack down and regurgitate exactly what I've already told you with zero understanding of what you're regurgitating, okay? That's the education system.
Absolutely, and it's just getting worse and worse, isn't it? I mean, look what they've been trying to do with the education lately. I mean, thanks to the whole...
Oh, sorry, Erin, we're coming to break now. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen... And we'll be talking about health and a whole bunch of other stuff. We have a naturopath / herbalist / writer / really like nice lady and stuff on the line here. So we'll be right back, folks. Just a few minutes. If you have any questions or anything, pop them in the chat room. Back in a minute.
Bonkers.
Spending my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my constant silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. There's nothing crazy about me. Oh, well, I'm kidding. There's heaps of stuff that's crazy about me. But in general, just trying to keep myself amused here. Because I was incredibly upset and angry last night, and I didn't know exactly why. And I think the only thing that I can come up with, the only thing I've actually really got to be upset or sad or... angry about in my life is this job, all right? And I don't mean that like I don't like this job or anything like that. It's the fact that I have to keep talking about all this really horrible stuff and make it funny for other people, but there's nobody there to keep me laughing every day, and it's starting to get really hard. And I think I might be taking a week or two off at some point, you know, just to recharge the batteries a bit. Because sometimes, you know, basically everybody works really hard, don't they? And they don't really have much of a choice. But when you're doing this kind of job, when you're not actually being paid, you have to select when to take your own holidays. You know, it's not like, oh, it's Christmas, I've got a couple of weeks off from work or anything like that. This is an everyday thing. All right, every day, even on my days off, even on my weeks off and what have you, mostly what I'm doing is catching up on stuff that I'm behind on, because there's so much to do. Okay, and I think this is something the entire truth movement deals with on a daily basis. There's so much work, and it's very taxing, like the government. My very special guest is Erin Young, and you can see her at facebook.com/apothecarenz, APOTHE, CareNZ, for those of you in the United States and what have you, and also pop it into the chat room for y'all so you can go and see her business. So, Erin, welcome back. Now, you said you were an author or a writer and what have you. Have you written anything?
Yeah, I was, before I got into natural medicine, I was a journalist, so, but back then it was kind of all teenage stuff, teenage magazines and all sorts, but at the moment I'm writing a health book, so that will be coming out. I'm only just beginning to do the research for it, so it's a long way off yet, but, yeah, I'm one of these kind of compulsive writers. If I'm not writing, then that's kind of my downtime, I suppose, so, I go a little bit crazy. I need to be writing something at all times.
Yep. Well, is it kind of like a Ramblers, for example? They've always got something to say, and they feel that if they ain't rambling it out, they'll explode or something?
Yeah, I suppose I am, but at least I'm putting it on paper and not just boring everyone else with it. I suspect I probably do a bit of that as well, but that's okay.
It is okay. Now, how did you actually wake up to this whole system? I mean, what made you want to be a naturopath and a herbalist and all of that kind of stuff?
Oh, good question. I guess I was quite lucky in that I was exposed to it a lot as a child. Like my parents are both... how do I describe my parents? My parents are both sort of good, upstanding members of society, good, normal jobs and everything else, but they would often, as kids, if we got sick... we'd go to homeopaths and we'd go to naturopaths or to whoever else. My dad's been vegetarian for many, many, many years, most of his life, so I've kind of been exposed to a lot of good, healthy food from around the world through that. So it was kind of always there in the background. And then I went over to England when I was 19. To, I guess, find what I wanted to do with my life, because I suddenly didn't want to do journalism anymore because various reasons, but mainly involving what they were talking about was a load of crap and what you're having to regurgitate was just nonsense. So I got into a really good journalism school and then I left, so I went to England. Long story short, I went through that rebellious stage that most people do, I think, upon leaving home, and ate a really horrendous diet of chips and fizzy drinks and biscuits and chocolate and all the stuff that makes my toes curl these days. Got really sick and ended up with flu and, like, proper influenza, suspected whooping cough, bronchitis, a whole lot of other stuff all at once. Which obviously the doctor couldn't really do much about, so I ended up crawling around to a homeopath around the corner from me who had me take 6 pills, and I was right within about 5 days. It was like she turned a tap on and suddenly all these bugs just disappeared. So after that it was kind of like, right, this is what I've got to do. This is it. You know, if everybody in the world knew how powerful this stuff was, that would just be, you know, would just be a healthy world, and that would be fantastic. I'm sick of seeing so many sick people out there. And, you know, knowing the power of a healthy diet and of, you know, eating right and of living right and of using these kinds of what they term alternative medicines, which I think really should be your first port of call.
So. There's a suppression syndrome, do you think? Like if somebody comes out with a cure for cancer, a cure for MS, cure for this, cure for that, legislation, or a badass working for some kind of pharmaceutical company will come a knocking?
Possibly. I think as well there's a lot of this whole skeptics movement that kind of seems to have come about, I don't know, within the last 10 years or so, where you have to be so skeptical of everything and nothing's right until it's proven, and you can't advocate for anything until it's absolutely scientifically proven. But they're forgetting that science doesn't know everything. Science is always changing and asking questions, and that's the whole nature of science. You know, I'm by no means anti-science, which is what a lot of naturopaths and so on do get termed at times. It's that we're seeing these results in clinics, and there's a lot of people out there helping some really, you know, amazingly difficult to heal diseases, and they're doing it. And yet they still get told that they're anti-science and so on. And you've just got to ask, you know, at what point does, you know, at how many people do you have to heal before that becomes evidence?
I liken it to vitamin C. I mean, just vitamin C alone, and this is the symptomatic of every single good medicinal product in the world today. 70 years, backed up, 100% proven, incredibly credible scientists, everything, have got it down and cured everything. All right, pretty much everything from snake bite to hairy cell leukemia. Doesn't matter what it is, cured. Okay, and then what happens? Oh, there's no scientific basis for it. No, there is a scientific basis for it. You're just retarded because you haven't been told. And you think that instead of doing the modicum of research, okay, and you were talking about journalists before, these people, we have Google nowadays, right? How difficult is it if you've heard some information that you want to verify to Google it? It takes seconds. Are these people even capable of doing that? No, they're not. It's not just the ignorance. It's the willful ignorance that concerns me. The skeptics, as they call themselves, are not skeptical at all. Skepticism is part of one of the base principles of science, whereby you will only believe something once it is proven. These skeptics, on the other hand, do not apply their skepticism equally. They always give the government and the establishment the benefit of the doubt. And anybody who is not touting the official line is seen as a crazy whack job conspiracy theorist who has no concern for science whatsoever. And just like every single major argument, they're both wrong. The mainstream medical establishment and the skeptics are wrong about most things. Most things. Okay? And my concern is that people's trust in these extremely dishonest people will basically cause their death. Okay? And I'm not doing hyperbole or anything. It's literally the case. If you deny that vitamin C saves lives and people believe you and they die as a result of scurvy or any number of other diseases that could have been cured, you're a fracking murderer.
Absolutely. It's really scary just how little understanding there is of such basic things like vitamin C. Most kids in this country, most people in this country have scurvy. And it's not just people kind of associate scurvy with, all the long voyages that they did by sea, hundreds of years ago, and, people would die of scurvy. Scurvy doesn't necessarily kill you, but it's going to completely destroy your immune system and mean that your defenses and your ability for your body to heal itself, if you get a cut or a scrape or a graze, whatever, it affects your whole body on so many different levels. And all of that, all of those systems are going to be so impaired. Scurvy is absolutely rife. And rickets is the other one. Rickets is making such a comeback. Yet so much of the establishment just won't even look at it.
And what is the government trying to do to curb this terrible scurvy epidemic? Oh, that's right. They're passing food bill legislation, so vitamin C supplements are now, like, what, one-tenth the strength and twice as expensive. Okay, the naivety of people who think that this agenda is not deliberate, that's also almost as scary as the agenda itself, that people can see this again and again and again. Government will kill you. Your doctors will kill you. Your police will kill you. Your lawyers will wind up getting you sent to jail. It's like everybody who you're supposed to trust is a lying sociopath, right? And that's my base broad assumption whenever I'm going into any kind of annals of officialdom, is that there are sociopaths at the top and they want to hurt or steal. Okay, and that's the only two methodologies that they have. Okay, and think about doctors. When you come in with cancer, what are the three things you're supposed to avoid? Radiation, sharp objects, and dangerous chemicals. Okay, what are the three things that they recommend highly for somebody who's incredibly sick with cancer? Either cut it out, irradiate you like you're a cockroach, or pump you full of incredibly dangerous drugs. Or all three, right? These people have been taught to be insane, okay? And there are some who genuinely cannot think outside their current paradigm of propaganda. That's what's so dangerous. And what's even more concerning is that if you want to be left alone and you don't want to go to the doctor and things of that nature, you take a home birth, Plunkett nurses, for instance. One of my listeners was around the other day, Aaron, and he was telling me about how they had a home birth and a Plunkett nurse came rapping on the door, literally stuck her foot in the door so they couldn't close it in her face, wanting to vaccinate, wanting to do this, and using all the sales tricks in the book, You don't want, you want to have a healthy baby, don't you? You know, you know that kind of scary, yeah, nice sociopath voice? Huh?
Yeah.
Even in your home, even your own children, you are not free to treat them how you wish anymore.
It's not the first time I've heard that. I've got a couple of friends who choose not to vaccinate their children, and they've had nurses come knocking at the door with the needles in their hands, you know, all filled up, and they've, you know, they've declined off, you know, on the national register. There's a register to sort of show what vaccines you've had and haven't had. You cannot doff it, but, you know, a lot of people choose not to because, say, your child is injured at a playground and someone else takes them to the hospital and they don't have tetanus vaccine on their record because they're not on the register, then they can be, you know, injected without you being there. So a lot of people choose to stay on the register and just to register as decliners. So, you know, these people have, had nurses turn up at their door with the needles in hand. And, you know, regardless of what, I always say to people, regardless of what you personally believe about vaccination, surely everybody should have the right to decline any form of medical treatment, no matter what it is. It's your body or your child's body. If you don't want something to go in it, then that is your right to refuse to have that treatment. And that applies for vaccines. It applies for everything. Yet that right seems to be something that they're just so determined to take away, which is absolutely terrifying.
Which leads me to believe that the Hippocratic Oath is no longer the Hippocratic Oath about doing no harm. It's the Hypocritic Oath, which means do as much harm as you can, just blame something else for it. Okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't the vaccine that caused your reaction. It's your genetics.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, the stuff that they... don't even get me started on vaccines.
Well, you know what? I think we're coming up to break in about 30 seconds. So whenever somebody says, don't get me started on vaccines, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do the direct opposite. We are so, so getting started on vaccines, darling.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, well, basically, it's I find that vaccines are probably one of the most important aspects of the health debate. Namely, it's because it's the one with some of the most amount of propaganda and the one that people will be exposed to during the most vulnerable stage of their lives. Parenthood. New parents, they are the most easy people to basically threaten and corral. Oh, you want to have a healthy, safe baby, don't you? You want to have some of that thimerosal. We'll give you some aborted fetal cell viruses cultured in a lab by Monsanto as well in there for you, along with a little bit of formaldehyde. It'll be sweet ass. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team.
One of my favorite statistics of all time. Everybody like factoids. I like factoids. Little random statistics that may or may not be true, but they sound true and they kind of give you a little bit of an insight onto something. Psychopaths and serial killers. You are 11 times more likely to be a serial killer if you have the letters MD after your name, believe it or not. 11 times more likely to be a serial killer. Somebody who kills repeatedly, doesn't get caught, and feels pleasure from it. Do you think that the medical industry has instances like that if it's not a symptom of a really, really bigger, deeper, more overarching problem? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I don't go to the doctor, okay? Even if I'm really sick, I do not go to the doctor because I know that statistically speaking, I'm far more likely to die at the doctor's place than in the car going there, okay? In the New Zealand industry, according to the Ministry of Health, the medical mishaps, mistakes, and proper medical practice combined kill three times more people than the road toll. more people than drive drunk, more people than speeding. And how often do you go to the doctor? Very rarely. How often do you go in a car? Every day. That is how deadly these scum really are. Okay? Don't underestimate them. Because it could really kill you. All right? And also, be careful in reading health books. You could die of a misprint. Erin Young is here. Naturopath and a herbalist and what have you. I'm acting under the assumption that you're familiar with Malcolm Harker's work?
Yes.
Yeah. The older, he's got an apothecary up in Waipu, just north of Auckland here. And whereabouts is your practice located?
At the moment, I'm working from a clinic in Point Chef, so in the middle of Auckland.
Okay. I used to live in Point Chef.
Ah, lovely area.
It really is. And something that we were discussing before the break that we wanted to get into is the vaccination issue. So if there's anything you'd probably like to give some people advice, because we were talking about autism over the break, and when some people think of autism, they think of, let's say, Sheldon off of the Big Bang Theory, you know. He may be a little bit socially awkward and everything like that, but he's capable of surviving on his own, et cetera, whatever. Okay, it's fine. Most autism is nothing like that. There are no benefits of any kind. Okay? It doesn't make you any smarter or anything. And I used to look after autistic boys, and the thing that really got me about it was when you're possessed with the knowledge that you know that thimerosal and the adjuvants and other things, oil and water-based derivatives that are in the vaccines, as well as all of this other aborted fetal cell matter and cultured viruses, live viruses, dead viruses, formaldehyde, you know, just those ingredients alone, you just think, man, I definitely don't want that in my system. And when it causes reactions like autism, and they've told us many times that Dr. Russell Blaylock is a liar, that the guy who exposed the connection between vaccines and autism was a lying, a scumbag, and none of his research added up. Well, guess bloody what? That's right. He was vindicated, and they proved that he was right all along. And who was denying him? Who was the one that was throwing names at him? Who were the people that were attacking his practice, trying to get him shut down and everything like that? You guessed it. Henchmen of the big, fat pharma fracks. Every time you see this, it's the same story. Over and over again. You expose the bad crap, and the bad crappers will come after you. Has that ever happened to you, Erin? You ever had some agents of scumbaggery knocking down your door for saying, "Hey, look, Erin, you can't tell people that autism's a curable condition, okay?"
No, it hasn't, and I hope it never does.
Yeah. You know, I hope not.
I guess you never know what's going to happen, but I certainly hope not, because I try to take quite a moderate approach to things, in that I'm not telling people not to get vaccinated. I'm telling people, do your homework first. You have choices. You have a right to choose. You know, do your research. Just do your homework. If after doing hours and hours and hours of research, you decide that, yes, it is the best thing for your child, then great, go for it. You've done your research. You've done your homework. That's cool. You know,
you've got the responsibility as well.
Yeah, just be aware of the consequences of all actions. And this applies to everything. It doesn't just apply to vaccination. It applies to any other form of medication you might take. It applies to seeing naturopaths and to seeing herbalists and to, you know, to taking the advice of anybody else on the planet with any subject. Do your homework. Don't believe anything that anybody says. Just go away and research. You know, we've got the tools these days. It is so easy. You know, you've got Google. There's mountains of books in the libraries. There's... If people even use libraries these days. You know, there's just so much information. Just get out there and do your research and make the decision that is best for you. Don't just take people's word for anything, because that's where you're going to get into trouble.
Yeah. And have you noticed that's really the crux of the issue in society today, really, isn't it? Is people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's like nobody knows what they're talking about. You know, it's just like I hear people talking about right-wing and left-wing politics. Neither of them have a clue what right-wing is or left-wing is. They don't know what the main tenets of communism is. They don't know what a libertarian is or anything like that. And yet, they go around acting like they know it all, okay? And have you noticed just how arrogant, stupid people who think they know it all can be? And what's worse is those people wind up getting promoted and being the heads of major corporations that make the decisions for everybody else.
It's scary, isn't it?
It's just a little scary.
Just how little people research. And I mean, when I'm talking about going and doing your research, I'm not necessarily just talking about, say, on the vaccine issue, just reading what the government has to say about it, the Ministry of Health website or IMAC or whoever else. You know, get out there and read the other side and see what it is that people are saying. Open up the medical journals. You know, there's places like PubMed, there's Science Direct, there's all these different online databases that have so many medical journals in there, which, you know, go straight to the source. A lot of doctors, they've got to see how many patients a day. They have 15 minutes in which to see someone. And then on top of that, all of the paperwork and all of the other stuff that goes with it. A lot of them just don't have the time to go and read all these journals and to do the work that we, you know, the general public will kind of assume and expect that they've done. And that's not necessarily their fault. It's administrative stuff. It's all of these new regulations and everything else that are being put on every industry. You know, a GP has to know everything about every health disorder that's ever going to walk through their door. How can you possibly expect them to have done all the research that there is to know?
Yeah, and particularly if out of 7 years of medical training, they only do 1 week on nutrition, if a week at all.
I'm told that they're starting to bring more nutrition in. I know at the Auckland Uni Med School, so that's promising. I haven't looked into it too much, but supposedly they're bringing more in, which is, you know, that's promising. There's hope. Yay.
Well, but I'll count that as an allegation, okay?
But, you know, what kind of nutrition are they being taught? The other question, because a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of nutritionists out there who talk about, you know, they'll say
McDonald's
things like,
being a part of an integral part of the diet.
Yeah. Well, they'll talk about, you know, make sure that you, you know, for a healthy diet, have margarine, have low fat, homogenized, processed, skimmed, trimmed, skinny, whatever it is, milk. So that they say these things, and you just go, what on earth are you talking about? There is nothing healthy about these products.
You know what, Aaron? They've corrupted the knowledge of every single bit of the medical sector, haven't they? Oh. Like, nutritionists are now, what's another word for nutritionists that just encourages you to eat really bad stuff and they're too stupid to know the difference? I don't know. Is there a word for that? Maybe I should create one. but That's the crux of the issue, isn't it? It doesn't matter what they're teaching them. It's always wrong.
Yeah. You've just got to do your own research. And, you know, I always say to people, just think about, how does this make sense? Is this congruent with what you know, with just sheer logic and common sense? Our bodies have not grown up drinking, you know, evolution over thousands of years. We have not grown on homogenized, processed, pasteurized, skinny, trimmy, whatever it is, milk. It's not what we've grown up on. We've grown up drinking, when I say grow up, I mean like our species has evolved, on raw milk, straight from the animal, if they even drink milk at all, because there's, of course, the arguments against that. We are the only species on Earth who drinks the milk of another species, you know, on an ongoing basis throughout their life. But
yeah.
That aside, you know, what if people drunk? Raw milk, straight from the cow. No pasteurization, no homogenization. Cow lives on grass without any pesticides, without anything else to make it grow better.
Just think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it simple, okay? If it ain't simple, then you can't understand it. If you can't understand it, then stop doing it, okay? Stop doing things that you don't understand what they are. Okay, You really must comprehend the difficulty of being born into a society where nothing but lies are taught to you from birth until death. And once you discover the truth, you're called a crackpot. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Aaron Young from Apothecare NZ. That's facebook.com/apothecarenz. You can join us in the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and we have it for one more hour. So if you don't want to call in, ladies and gentlemen, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. Alert the masses. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two.
Of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from New Zealand. This country is deadly. Deadly and clean and green at the same time. Mostly because we drop 1080 pellets everywhere into the water supply and everybody gets endocrine disruptors as a result. But my very special guest, Aaron Young from Apothecare NZ, is my guest. And you were just reading me out something from the vaccine schedule handbook that the Ministry of Health puts out. I'd love it if you could read that statistic out to people again.
I can't actually find it. It's in one of the many tabs that I have hanging off the side of my book. But basically it said that the one particular vaccine, I can't even remember which one it was. I'll find it in a minute. But it has, you have a 0 to 95% chance of this particular adverse effect of this particular vaccine. 0 to 95%? That's either a really small rate of reaction or a really high rate of reaction. But I just read that sentence last night and just went, what on earth are they talking about?
Yeah. You know what I should do? I should use that as an advertisement for the Vinnie Eastwood Show. People are between, what was it? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Between 5 and 95% of people are satisfied with the information we put out.
What's that?
It's good. It's good, Shiite Muslim. Okay, we've got a caller here. It's been hanging on for 45 minutes. Must be one of the most dedicated people we've ever had. You're on the air, man.
How are you? From Australia.
Oh, good. What's your first name in the state? And, which Aussie state are you calling from, mate?
Melbourne.
Melbourne, yep.
Good old.
Is that Werner, is it?
Name's Reese. Sorry?
Reese. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you, mate?
That's all right, thank you. Just referring back to the start of the call as well, as I want to cover something after that as well. I just was watching a bit of Australian history and how we actually, they actually settled our country, supposedly, and a quite startling Illuminati reference come up. And it was involving them pretty much going out to kill a fair few of them because one of them, or a group of them, killed one of them or something like that. Anyway, so the British troops go out to kill them, cut off 45 of their heads, boil their heads down, and send the skulls back to England.
Whoa, that's rough, man.
So can you, one of the major Illuminati references sort of ever, the way I just read that, and that was just so obvious. And also I wanted to ask something about if you and Aaron knew about Dr. Sebi and alkalinity diet and all that sort of stuff.
Alkaline diet, well, as far as I know, the simplest way to make sure that your body is alkaline is a teaspoon of baking soda in your glasses of water. You just mix it up there. And essentially what it does is it promotes oxygenation of the blood and a high alkaline level. And what our viruses need, the only way a virus can actually grow inside your body is if you have a pH, I think, lower than 6, I think, is the natural pH of the body. If it's any lower than that, then you're susceptible to infection. If you use things like baking soda, which is like $2 for like a kilo or something like that, it's an incredibly cheap way to keep your health in order. Also a very good diuretic if you need to go to the bathroom right now, for example. So that's basically the one there. If you want to be kept safe from viruses, pretty much of any kind, including cancer, there's also a alleged cancer cure that you can use baking soda with. If you get some real maple syrup, Okay, it doesn't have to be from Canada or whatever. I think that's the only place you can get maple syrup. But what happens is cancer viruses love sugar. They really love it. And that's why a lot of people who have incredibly sugary diets, ironically enough, start getting cancer. Other than the fact that they've been injected with vaccines that are contaminated with cancer viruses, as has been admitted in the past. What happens is you melt the syrup with some baking soda in it in a saucepan. Heat it up just very, very gently, and then you have 3 tablespoons of that mixture per day. And after a couple of weeks, month or two or whatever, cancer's gone. The reason why it works is because the viruses don't like the baking soda, but they love the sugar. And when you're mixing it in with the saucepan, the baking soda mixes with the sugar. So that when the cancer viruses go to eat that sugar, they're actually eating the baking soda and die, kill themselves. Brilliant stuff.
Okay, Dr. Sebi apparently has a cure for AIDS as well. And also there is another gentleman in Melbourne who's claimed himself as Jesus, and he's actually sent specific court paperwork into The Hague to notify them to, let go of the throne and all this sort of stuff. And it's actually quite interesting to look at. His name is, Brian Go Lightly Marshall. And he's quite full on. So, he's claiming to be Jesus, and, numerology and all this sort of thing is trying to prove that. But I actually looked into Dr. Sebi, and I was just inquiring about all that and ionized water and see if you guys knew sort of about all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I'd never heard of that baking soda idea, but I know that apparently Dr. Sebi's cured AIDS on numerous different accounts, and this is literally just from having a full alkaline diet, which includes no starch, no nothing, no blood, no meat, no nothing.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's apparently what
is
curing everyone.
AIDS is a virus, isn't it?
Yeah.
So your alkaline diet kills viruses, boom, doesn't matter what it is.
Yep. And also this gentleman apparently he was using, as part of him proving that he was Jesus, he went over to Papua New Guinea, and he actually apparently cured numerous different AIDS and, different diseases over there through the use of some sort of, apparently the US government had the patent for the cure for AIDS since 1990.
They created the AIDS
blood transfusing silver or something.
As far as my research has indicated, I think it was when AIDS first came out, there were 3 outbreaks that were initially reported, and I think they were all within South African borders. And each 3 of these locations was within at least 5 miles of a U.S. military bioweapons research facility. Like they had multiple research facilities in South Africa, and when the AIDS virus was released, 3 cases and 3 outbreaks simultaneously, all within the parameters of those facilities. So you also look at the habits of this virus, and viruses don't go out specifically to attack particular types of cells. Like the AIDS virus was very strange because it actually hunts down, like a bloodhound, white blood cells, the things that are actually supposed to protect you from viruses, and kills them. And they'd never seen that before. And it's given rise to the belief that this was an engineered virus. And South Africans, the South African government during the time was actually in development of what they called race-specific bioweapons, which were later referred to by Dick Cheney as a politically useful tool. And I believe that this AIDS virus is one such bioweapon, namely because this virus is 50 times more likely to infect you if you're black.
Wow.
Okay. If you expose 50 white people and 50 black people, those 50 black people, maybe one of them wouldn't get infected. Out of those 50 white people, only one of them would. Okay. The statistic is that stark on it.
So that's their perfect biological weapon. Perfect.
Yeah. And we're talking about a bunch of eugenicist Illuminati New World Order folks, so of course they do this. They hate
that are white predominant.
yeah, they're white supremacists as well. You know, yeah. There's the whole Nazi and of course, what I love particularly about this aspect when we talk about the medical field is the Satanism aspect. And most people don't think that Satanism has any relevance into the medical field. I believe it does, namely because of Satanistic practices. In particular, the main practice of Satanism is, in fact, for making making people believe something that you know for a fact isn't true. Okay, so that you can have the power of that knowledge, and they will be without it. Does that sound like the main principle behind all of the medical industry to you? Certainly does to me. Keep the knowledge from you so that I've got all the power for myself and manipulate you. Satanistic principle the whole way through. Very interesting. Okay, Reese, have you got anything more to add? Or Aaron, have you got any thing you'd like to say to Reese in response to any of his questions?
In response to that alkaline, to how to sort of alkalinize yourself, another couple of really good tips. I haven't looked into the baking soda and maple syrup thing, so I'll go and do some research on that. But couple of the easiest things you can do, start your day with a glass of lemon juice and water. So juice of half a lemon or a lemon, depending on how you want to, how strong you can handle it. That's a really, really nice way to alkalize. Yes, people sort of think that's a bit weird, but because obviously lemon juice is quite acidic, but it turns to an alkaline ash in the body when it is metabolized properly. So that's a nice, easy way. And the other one is just eating lots of greens. Lots and lots of greens. Barley grass is really good. Green smoothies every day are just a fantastic way to be doing it and to kind of get your body right and the balance right. So, yeah, eat your greens, guys. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody, and we will be having a field trip down to Parliament to eat the Greens as well. Apparently they're being arrested for engaging in Agenda 21 protocol, so we'll be having a big boil-up on Parliament grounds eating the whole Green Party. Now, we're coming to our next caller now. Thank you, Reese, for your call, man, calling in all the way from Australia. Awesome. Thank you very much. We have an anonymous caller. You are on the air. Welcome to the program. Hello, caller, are you there? You're on the air. If you've been holding for about 3 minutes. Come on, speaking up might be an idea worthy of merit. Apparently not. Okie dokie. Well, if you there might be some glitches with the phones or something, caller, so if you want to just quickly hang up and ring back, we'll go straight to you there. Now, the other aspect of the medical industry that I think also really needs to be explored is the cancer industry. And believe it or not, this really is an industry, okay? Not entirely dissimilar from Auschwitz was an industry. What's happening here is that anybody who comes up with a cancer cure, and it doesn't matter where you are, what country or anything like that, if they wind up creating a really effective cure, they will have their offices broken into. They will have their research stolen, destroyed. They will be arrested, or they will have their medical licenses revoked, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter how effective your cure is. If it is effective at all, that's what's going to happen. Because if you have a look at what's the rate of curing people with chemotherapy, I think it's like 5%, I think was the statistics. And and the way that they, and of course, the definition of cure is very interesting as well. If you look at the definitions that they use, the yardstick. A cure is defined as somebody surviving 5 years, okay? If you do your medical treatment for your cancer with your chemotherapy and everything, you survive 5 years, you're listed as cured, even if you die the next day. So what these people don't want you to know is that cancer cures are incredibly simple, very cheap, and easy to find, as opposed to 25 grand for one round of chemo. Where does all that money go to? It goes to these big, giant pharmaceutical companies that are the richest companies in the world. Do you think they care about your health? They don't. They care about their profit margins. And you being sick increases their profit margins. Ergo, don't you think that they do everything they can to keep you sick and not and make sure that nothing cures you? so that you continue to be their customer? It's just simple. It's business. And they're very good at it. You take Rick Simpson, for instance, PhoenixTears.ca, PhoenixTears.ca, did a documentary. It was done pretty quickly and pretty cheaply, but it was a good documentary nonetheless, called Run From The Cure. He grew 1,000 cannabis plants in his backyard, turned them into high-potency tetrahydrocannabinol oil, that's THC, and he had cancer, skin cancer, on his nose, okay? And he put a little bit of that cannabis oil on it, put a plaster over it, and kept doing it, you know, just reapplying every once a day, putting the plaster back over. In about 3 weeks, that skin cancer dropped off, okay? Like the body actually pushed that cancer out of his nose, and it just plopped off. It came off with the plaster one day. And he was like, whoa, cannabis cures cancer. So he goes to other people and starts telling them about this. And they're like, that can't be true, it can't be true. And he'd been through all the rigmarole of all the doctors and that sort of stuff. They couldn't cure him. They said he was going to die. So instead of dying, he cured himself. And then he found out that he wasn't the only one who was being told to just die. A lot of his friends, even police and nurses and doctors and lawyers and things that he knew, having bad diseases, suffering from ranges of things like a spinal, like a crack in the spinal discs and things like that, massive depression, cancers and all of this sort of stuff. Every single person who he treated with high-potency cannabis oil was cured in very quick succession. Even inoperable radiotherapy-only lung cancer. Done in 3 months. Guys, sweet. Okay? And it was just taking a small drop of cannabis oil under the tongue 3 times a day. Interesting, don't you think? And when he went to the Canadian Cancer Society, they said to him, this is a quote, "We're not interested in finding the cure for cancer." They have an industry as well. Think about this. All those people that are walking around with the buckets and whatnot, wanting money for cancer research, all those people that are selling bandanas for canteen and things of that nature, they're just doing it so that they can make money off of your fracking death. Okay? And they have no idea. Because the truth is kept from them as well as from all of us. This is why I think we all need to band together as regularly as possible and bring people like Aaron on the air and to talk about as much stuff as we can while we still can. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And power corrupts, absolutely. So you best share your knowledge, lest it corrupt you. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Aaron Young is my very special guest. Our anonymous caller has called back and will come to you after the break, mate. Sorry about that. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And we have quite a bunch of people in the chat room today. So if you'd also like to join us in there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/chat-room.html. We'll be right back. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And this is the only show in New Zealand that talks about the truth 5 days a week and engages people of an international scope. This is the only show in this whole country of 4 million people that New Zealanders can look to get real information that is based on facts and evidence, as well as have a fun time while you're listening in. And I thank you very much, because the listeners to this audience are the salt of the earth. Everyone that I've ever talked to has been intelligent, kind, curious, and thoughtful at the same time, as well as, in some cases, being very generous. Okay, those are the types of people that listen to this show, and the other aspect is they all have a sense of humor, and they don't take themselves or life too fracking seriously. And that's just the kind of audience and just the kind of friends I want for my life and everything else. The best part about this show is that you can talk about whatever you want, without being judged at all. So we're going to go to that anonymous caller now who was kind of...
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're here. Gotcha.
Hello, Vinny? You there, Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
You there?
Yep.
Oh, awesome, Vinny. How's it going this morning?
I'm somewhat fabulous.
Always fabulous, Vinny. Always fabulous.
Mm, occasionally borderlining on fabulous.
And I gather Erin's here as well. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you seem to have dropped off, caller, again. There must be something wrong with this. Oh, wait, there you go. I've got you back. Can you say something again?
Good morning.
Yeah, it's cutting off a wee bit there.
Okay.
It's just kind of like you just get cut off in mid-sentence, mate. It's not working properly. It's unfortunate. I should try try another way of ringing in or whatever. If you go to the chat room,
okay.
If you have Skype or something like that or whatever, you can pop your questions into the chat room. Maybe I don't know. Who knows? Maybe this little connection might pan out a little bit. So, what did you call in for? What can we help you with today?
To thank Erin. You there?
Yep.
Yeah. What for? You're welcome.
For hello.
You just kind of dropped out there a little bit for what, sorry?
Do you get that?
Yep. Okay. Well, maybe you should probably just jump on the computer there, go to the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and if you want to thank Erin, just pop the message in there, and I'll read it out on air to you, because this is a pretty bad line that we've got here. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. That's the number to ring in. We've got another segment or two with the lovely Erin Young from Apothecare NZ on Facebook. Now, what were we talking about before we come out of the break? Oh, yeah. Convincing people about this health system. Okay, and more to the fact, self-censorship. And I want to ask you a question here, Erin. We all self-censor for one reason or another, okay, because we don't think that the person listening might be receptive, or it might be a little bit dangerous, or we might be risking something. You know, for some reason or another, we all hold our tongue about something, okay? This show is the show where I hope to loosen your tongue in the Spanish Inquisition sense of the word. So if you have anything that you might be perhaps a little bit careful about wanting to say or whatever... For fear of being judged or anything, this is actually the place to say it where you won't be judged. So, you know, anything like that, go for your life.
Right. I guess the reason that I tend to take a kind of moderate road with a lot of this stuff is because so many people out there, particularly when it comes to health, are, I don't want to say clueless, but... perhaps haven't given their thought and what, you know, given their health and what goes into their bodies and what they're doing in terms of, you know, in terms of their entire health care, a lot of thought. And I know that for a lot of people, a lot of the concepts that I like to talk about, particularly because I work a lot with infant health, with child health, with pregnancy, with trying to encourage women to do detoxification kind of programs before they even conceive, before they get pregnant, because that, you know, that's one of the best ways to avoid a lot of the childhood, you know, diseases and disorders that we're seeing now. Trying to kind of talk to that, you know, talk to that and talk to people who just haven't even given it much thought can be really hard. And a lot of the time I find, a lot of the time they kind of switch off once you start talking about that immediately. And I don't want to be putting any people off, particularly people who may have, how should we say, particularly people who may have done things with their children in terms of their children's health that they may regret now and perhaps feel guilty about, or feel like, you know, oh no, maybe I should have given it more thought, maybe, you know, it was my own fault, I was silly, I was dumb, and now my child is paying the price. I don't want to be putting them off, and I don't want to be sort of thought to be judgmental or to be judging people for their decisions. You know, we're all coming from a place where our whole society is tailored to, you know, indoctrinate us into this particular form of healthcare from the word go. You know, you look at any child, you know, you look at children's books. Little Johnny got sick. Little Johnny went to the doctor. Little Johnny got given a pill. Now little Johnny is healthy. This is the kind of thing that we're giving our kids from the word go. And then you wonder why people are so indoctrinated and why they don't think that perhaps there's some really huge, huge flaws in the system. You know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is I understand where people are coming from, and I understand how hard it is to start thinking about these things and why people perhaps don't think about these things. And I don't want to be alienating them by talking about such huge, huge sort of, I guess, conspiracy type ideas before they've even thought that maybe their doctor's not always right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And what we were talking about over the break, I think, is the crux of the issue is about trying to wake people up to the system without making them hate you, call you a conspiracy theorist, or think that you're crazy. And I'm acting under the assumption that you, like me, every single time we seem to be talking about this with friends that we have who are educated specifically, are the ones who do all of that, because they're the ones who are more forcefully brainwashed. They're the ones who have a... who have spent a lot of money brainwashing themselves, who have spent a lot of time and effort brainwashing themselves. So when you come to tell them anything that's truthful, that is in opposition to their brainwashing, essentially you're telling them that I've wasted my life, I've wasted my money, and they get angry at you for saying that. Okay, even though you never said it, that's the implication. And they react to you very quickly. Okay, and that's an emotional response. It's not an intellectual response. If somebody gets angry at you because of something you've said, calls you a name, and it's within seconds of you saying anything like that, they're not in their right mind. They're not thinking about what you've said to them. Their brain is simply reacting in a defensive mechanism called cognitive dissonance. When the brain has a idea or shaped worldview, and that worldview is challenged, the brain reacts to the thing that is challenging that worldview as a threat, like an intellectual version of a virus. And the part of the brain that is forcing that reactionary response is not the hypothalamus or any other part of your brain other than the reptilian base part of your brain down here, which controls your fight or flight mechanism. Incidentally, this is the same part of the brain that is overactive in psychopaths. We have an anonymous caller. You might have called back in. I think we can hear you now.
How about that, Vinny?
That's nice.
How about that, Vinny? Good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. My name's John. I'm from Auckland in New
Oh, John, it's cutting out again. Yeah, it's back and forth a little bit. So, John, if you have, are you calling us from a cell phone or something like that?
Skype, trying to.
Okay. The Skype ones aren't usually a very good one. So, if you want to be able to ring in, let me see. If you want to email me your Skype name, we'll actually bring you in through the board, okay? And that usually solves the connection problem. So if you want to email me, it's gorillamrnews@gmail.com. We can go to the vinnyeastwoodshow.com and click on the contact form. Yeah, are you able to do that, John? Hopefully that might work. So it's Gorilla Mr. News. Anybody can email me anything you want. You can email me suggestions or your Skype names or any stuff like that. I'll get to them when I can. But GorillaMrNews@gmail.com is my email address there. Okay, so hopefully we'll have him sending me that one, and we'll be able to bring John in over the break. That'll work, hopefully. I don't know. I always try to make an effort here, because if somebody's calling in from Auckland into the studio in Texas, that's a bit of an effort, and I should probably make a bit of an effort too. Don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that fair? Have you noticed how a lot of the times when you call into talk radio, and I've done this a number of times, you feel that you know more about the radio show host than they do about you, because you've been listening to them for a while and they've never talked to you, never listened to you. And you find out that the vast majority of the time, the radio show host don't actually care about you either. Then they're not interested. They don't want to ask questions or clarifications. And what I find is most important is to do the direct opposite. The direct opposite. Okay, you actually have to be curious about other individuals, other people. And I'm not sure what my reasoning is for this. It just makes me feel better, because I get to know people rather than just them knowing me. And I think it's more reciprocal and beneficial for any kind of relationship when there is a familiarity. You understand? And this is something that George Norrie taught me. If you want to listen to that interview, it's a bloomin' good one. It's at the featured interviews page of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And that's what he told me. If you want to maintain a grace as a radio show host, then you have to talk to the people all the time. Otherwise, you lose touch, because you're at 30,000 feet the whole time and suddenly you're unfamiliar, right? That is the immutable truth. And if you find a radio show host who ain't willing to listen to you or anything like that, stop listening to them, all right? Anybody who's trying to push you through this, that, and the other way, nah, they're not a good person, and so don't listen to them. Don't give them the time of day. All right, we've got another caller here, 804 area code, I think. What is your first name and state you're calling from, please? Are you there? Oh, seem to have a little bit of problems with the phones. Again, don't seem to be able to unmute yet, so you might want to hang up and quickly ring back. The board seems to be a bit frozen there for a second. Sorry there, 804 area code. You are on the air, gotcha.
You there?
Yep. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Kevin from Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Reminds me of that cigarettes that they traded on Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Yes. Richmond, Virginia.
I just kind of wondering what you think about, you know, you got this new world order and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
And but here in America, they want us to learn Spanish. And I thought that a new world order would have a one world language.
Well, I think they're just telling you to speak Spanish just to make you irritated that there's too many, that there's, actually, here's a great statistic for you. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are on it, but apparently white people are now the minority in America. And Hispanics are the biggest ethnic group. So what they're trying to do, I think, is promote racial infighting, because there'll be a heck of a lot of English-speaking Americans who don't want to have to learn Spanish, who will, instead of learning Spanish, get angry at the Spanish immigrants, which the New World Order let in droves. They don't enforce the laws or anything like that. You can be driving around in a stolen car in Austin, Texas, if you're a, an an illegal immigrant with no license or anything like that, and you get pulled over, nothing happens to you. This is all to promote race war and people getting angry with each other all the time. And that's what the New World Order wants, more than a world language. They want everybody to be fighting with each other so that way they can come in and save the day and say, oh, everybody's got these big problems. We're going to come in with a new language later on and to solve all these horrible problems that we created. We'll be right back. Hold on, Kevin. We'll come back to you in a sec.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower is secure. My cause is noble, my power is secure.
And you know what? I wouldn't be able to reach anywhere near as many people if it wasn't for the people who already listened to me, who are sending out messages, posting on Facebook and sharing the links and reading the articles and listening to the shows. And it's also interesting. I have people who bring around mates and stuff to their house while I'm live and just play the Vinnie Eastwood show while they're there and kind of stuff and just listen to it as a group. That's really cool. And we have our caller still on the line from Kevin from Richmond, Virginia. And we're also joined by John on the Skype. So, Kevin, we'll go back to you first. So, did I answer your question about the Spanish and the immigration and all that?
Well, the point I'm trying to get at is, and a lot of the talk hosts have a lot of good conspiracy theories, but when you look at the New World Order and you know, whether it be vaccines or 9/11, I mean, they can't even get the whole world to speak one language. How are they going to get a one-world currency or a one-world government?
Well, actually, it's surprisingly easy. It's much easier to conquer people if they can't communicate to each other and tell each other that they're being conquered.
Well, that's a good point.
It happened. It all stopped.
Can you still hear?
No.
Okay. John, you there, mate? John, are you there? We got you on the Skype here, mate. You seem to be having troubles with that connection too. Oh, yeah, he's dropped off. Oh, well. Anyway, Kevin, the thing about the New World Order is they don't play check. They don't play checkers. They play chess. They think a couple of moves ahead. And what I find is the real difficulty in America today is that it's a country that was based on the tenets of freedom. Okay, now the freedom to choose what religion you practice, what language you speak, what job you have, etc. Now, everybody in the world wants that freedom, but not everybody in the world can live inside the United States, can they? And that whole freedom aspect of the Founding Fathers and everything is seen by the Illuminati in the New World Order as a great threat. And that's why they're making all this happen, helping it along. In fact, what's it called? The Dream Bill by Barack Obama actually gives all illegal aliens a form of amnesty, right? As in, they cannot break laws because they're not citizens and they're all good, they're all happy, right? And this sort of thing is certainly the most dangerous element to the New World Order is getting people infighting with each other. The reason why that's so dangerous is because when you're infighting with your neighbors, you can't protect yourself, okay, because you've got to watch your back, and it's impossible to watch your back because you don't have eyes in the back of your head. Oh, yeah, got you, John. Let's see if you want to say what you can before you drop off again.
Can you hear?
Oh, no. Right. It's the worst connection ever, John. It's just not going to happen today. I'll tell you what. Just type something into the Skype chat here and I'll read it out for you. Eh? Yeah, because it's just like everything is like right in the middle of it. And then Vinny was... It's like, what, Skype got your tongue? See, even your giggles are cutting out, mate. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. I'm just cracking up on this now. Okay, well, Aaron, you know who John is, and you helped him out with a raw diet. So why don't you do an explanation then?
Okay, I hope I'm not going to say anything that you don't want me to say, John, but anyway, John was one of our clients last year when I was in my final year of studies, and came to me with some quite chronic health complaints, and we put him on a raw diet, myself and a friend of mine who is a raw vegan, who is absolutely fantastic, and a bunch of different amazing supplements, like I believe cell food was one of them, which is very much worth looking into for anybody who wants to oxygenate their body better, which is fantastic for fighting a lot of different diseases. A product called cell food, get onto that, it's great. Put him on that, and I believe he's had a fairly substantial turnaround in what's been going on, which is always really lovely to hear when, you know, when you're a naturopath and your whole job is to try and help people.
You know, the funny thing is, though, if you're a naturopath, you expect that what you're going to do is help the person, and you find that you're correct a lot of the time. And as a medical doctor, you expect that your stuff is going to help people, and you're wrong most of the time. And yet you keep doing the same thing.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? But, I mean, yeah, you do expect it to help, particularly when you're doing things that are as, you know, I'd like to try and keep it simple, you know. Increasing raw food in your diet. When you cook your food, you're creating so many different, you know, toxic byproducts. You've got your acrylamide and your cooked carbs. You've got your heterocyclic amines and all sorts of other, you know, so many different horrible compounds that are produced by cooking. Just, and you know, increase your raw food. It's so simple. You know, I'm not raw myself. I do eat cooked food still, but small amounts. I'm largely eating raw now these days. And you feel fantastic for it. You know, your food's alive. Just eat live food. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, take the lesson of animals, okay? Lions are big on the raw food diet, emphasis on the raw. Now, we also have John wanting to say, thank you very much for everything you have done for me and mine. To me, you have saved my life, and you have given me back everything I lost almost 10 years ago now due to the drugs I was prescribed. And I remember John was telling me about these drugs that he was on, and he'd never had a violent or aggressive or anything episode before in his entire life, right? Except on these drugs. It was like he was possessed and he nearly killed his friend. And he goes back to the doctor and says, this drug's making me go nuts and I nearly killed my friend. And the doctor says, it's you. You tried to kill your friend, not the drug. The drug has no reactions or side effects or anything like that. Even, of course, if you read the readout sheet, which is usually in the tiniest print you could ever freaking conceivably think about, and is all folded up on a neat little package that when you unfold it is about as tall as me, and I'm 6'4", it goes all the way down to the floor. And that's acting under the assumption you get the ones that are actually in the boxes that have the symptomologies and everything like that. In New Zealand, you don't have to have any warning labels, any printouts, any anything. They just give you a bottle with a name. And unless you go Google that, you won't have any idea what that drug is, what it does, what the side effects are, or anything.
Yeah, Kiwis, get on the MedSafe website and bookmark it now. It's all on there. MedSafe.govt.nz.
MedSafe.govt.nz. Now, the reason why you go to that thing, ladies and gentlemen, is whenever you prescribed a new drug, or a vaccine is being promoted, or anything of that nature, MedSafe is mandated, basically by law, to put out the drug company printout sheets for those particular substances on there. And every single time, without fail, if you ever look at a pharmaceutical drug, they're bloody deadly. And they will prove it to you on the MedSafe website. And you can go to your doctor, because obviously doctors don't know anything about MedSafe. They never heard of it, because after all, their medicine isn't safe. So why would MedSafe have anything to do with it? And also, we've got more stuff in here from John. He said, at the time I met Aaron, I had lost my job, my sex life, my friends, my self-respect. I lived in a world of fear, and the people I thought would help, should help, just kept throwing drugs at me. Then, when I was about to give up on everything, my wife introduced me to Aaron. I presume this is one of just many stories of similar storylines to people that you've treated, isn't it, Aaron?
Well, I hope so, but I'm only sort of starting out in my career. I'm still quite young, so
You've got a hell of a lot of work to do then, eh?
I seem to be getting a lot of these kinds of responses, which is always really nice, but again, you know, I just try and keep things simple and just, you know, keep it straightforward. I don't like to prescribe a lot of supplements. A lot of supplements are full of really toxic, horrible chemicals, and if you look at the way in which they're produced, it'll blow your mind, so, just to put it quite bluntly. You know, I like to stick to whole foods, to what nature's given us, to natural supplements, to, you know, to just real kind of basic, back to basics kind of stuff, that, and it works. And it's not going to cost the earth, and it's not going to overwhelm people, and it's at their level where they are right now. And I think that's so important as a naturopath, to keep that in mind and not to just go off prescribing truckloads of synthetic supplements like a lot of people do.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've come to the end of the show today, Aaron. Thank you very much for coming on. Do you have a phone number for your practice you'd like to give out, so if people want to contact you and perhaps come into your practice and have a meeting or a consultation with you, just give out the number on air.
I would give the number, but my phone is unfortunately a bit dodgy at the moment. But if you email me on aaronyoungnaturopath@gmail.com, then you'll be able to contact me. I check that every day.
So that's Erin Young, naturopath. And she incidentally is called Erin, and she is young, and she is a naturopath.
Funny how that works, hey?
Funny that. All right, thank you very much, Erin. And I hope that we can generate a little bit of interest, and hopefully some people will come to see you and get healed. And I hope some others that have been listening in will start to do precisely what we've been telling you to do this entire interview. Do your own research. Don't trust the doctors, okay? Get that junk out of your system and allow the world to change, because junk information is as bad for your mind as junk food is for your body. And ignorance is a disease. Information is the cure. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. You can check out the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, guerrillamedia.co.nz, and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll see you again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.